أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. The hastening of the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. We've been speaking about spirituality these last few nights. The first topic that we tried to discuss was the importance of where we get the path of spirituality. Following that, we decided to get a little more particular about spirituality. Let's talk about some of the practical aspects of spirituality. Namely, we spoke about prayer. One of the verses that deals with prayer that I recited in the first night that we started talking about prayer is Surah An-Kabut, verse 45, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم أتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. The other night we read up to this point. It says that uphold the prayer. The reason being, prayer keeps you from a lot of sins. Keeps you away from fahsha and munkar. It tells you not to do those. This is one of the benefits of prayer. I don't want to get back to the same topic again. The reason why I mentioned the verse is there's a continuation to the verse. Yesterday we got into the aspect, the last point we left off about prayer was one of the important aspects of prayer. Second. One of the important aspects of prayer, which we said is the essence of prayer, I have to do it. Third salawat. Recite salawat. Recite salawat. One of the important aspects of prayer that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why we need to pray, and he said this is the essence of prayer, is the issue of dhikr, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at the prayer itself, what does it consist of? The surahs of the Holy Quran, you begin with Allahu Akbar, it's a dhikr. Okay. We have the surahs of the Holy Quran, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which in them, they have remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go to ruku', it's mustahab to say Allahu Akbar. Then you go to ruku', you have subhana rabbi al-azim wa bihamdi. That's dhikr. All of these things are dhikr, right? You get up, sami'allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar, dhikr. Sujood, dhikr. Get up, dhikr. Sujood again, dhikr. Get up again, dhikr. Second rakah, same thing. Tashahud, dhikr. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Dhikr. This is the essence of prayer, is going to be dhikr. I want to explain about, apparently, the apparent aspect of prayer is also dhikr. Okay. But we'll get to that. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning that, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, says, وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Prayer is dhikr. وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. This is the point that I was referring to last night, saying that point that the essence of prayer is dhikr. As we saw, the apparent aspect of prayer is also dhikr. But what we're supposed to get out of this prayer is dhikr. Why does it say this? أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. What is it trying to tell us? If prayer is already dhikr, one of the effects of this prayer is tanha an al fahsha'i wal munkar, and it says wala dhikrullahi akbar. It is the essence of prayer that is dhikr, not in the sense of saying these words. Mentioning these words, Allahu Akbar. Okay, Allahu Akbar is known as a dhikr. We have loads of dhikr. La ilaha illallah is a dhikr. Subhanallah is a dhikr. Tasbihat arba'ah, that's all dhikr. All, you know, dua jusham kabir. It's full of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every one of those is dhikr. But the essence of dhikr is not mentioning the word on your tongue. The dhikr is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has to do with the heart. Okay, I'm pointing to my head. It actually has to do with the heart. Of course, the pointing isn't right anyway, because the heart is not in here. The heart is spiritual. Say salawat. I want to talk about dhikr a little bit. So we got the importance of prayer is dhikr. That's the wajib amount of dhikr that we're supposed to do on a daily basis. The wajib amount of dhikr that we have to do on a daily basis is the prayer. You have to. And the wajibat in that are, you know, the bare minimum. You're supposed to say Allahu Akbar to start the prayer. Then we have hamd and surah. That's the least, the shortest surah you could find. And you say, you don't even have to say Allahu Akbar. You go to ruku', subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. That's the least. Get up. Go to sujood. You don't have to do the dhikr up there. You go to sujood. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the bare minimum dhikr that we have to do. On a daily basis, 5 times a day, you have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the bare minimum. But we were talking about maybe a little bit above that. Sometimes this is not talked about. And there's a reason why I want to talk about this. What we can do on top of that. In al hadith, Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh, says, Awhalla azza wa jal ila Musa alayhi salam, Ya Musa, la tafrah bi kathrat al-mal, wa la tada' dhikri ala kulli hal. وإن كثرة المال تنسي الذنوب وإن ترك ذكري يقسي القلوب. The Imam says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Musa, saying, don't be proud if you have Don't be too happy if you have a lot of wealth. And you should not leave my remembrance at any point in your life. My dhikr. How is that? There's two problems, he says. This, according to this hadith, Imam Sadiq says, Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Musa, there's two problems. Says, إِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الْمَالِ تُنْسِ الذُّنُوبِ. Too much wealth causes us to forget our sins, our wrongdoings. Keeps us occupied. وَإِنَّ تَرْكَ ذِكْرِي يُقْسِ الْقُلُوبِ. The keeping away from and refraining from, staying away from dhikr, forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know what that does? It says, yuqsil qulub. It makes the heart hard. This is a big problem. In another hadith, about, I want to explain, you know, this is a huge problem, yuqsil qulub. In another hadith, the Imam quotes the Holy Prophet saying, من علامات الشقاء جمود العين وقسوة القلب وشدة الحرص في طلب الدنيا والإصرار على الذات. There are a few signs for شقاء. شقاء is the worst present. When we talk about in Dua Nudba, the person who assassinated Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, it refers to him as Ashqal Ashqiya. Okay, the worst of the worst. Shaqi is a person that's just lost. He's not getting anywhere. You know, very, very bad person. Shaqi is that. So there's signs for shiqawa. Okay. What are they? One is Jumudul Ayn. If you can't cry, if we can't cry, if we can't shed tears for the Ahlul Bayt, if, according to the Holy Quran, the mu'mineen, when the dhikr of Allah, when the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to them, wajilat qulubah, okay, their hearts start to feel something. If the eyes are dry, if they don't shed tears, this is a sign of shaqawa. The second one that is mentioned here is qaswatul qalb, when the heart becomes hard. That's shaqawa. Qaswatul qalb is a sign of being shaqi. Very dangerous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Musa, according to that narration, that forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not being in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, causes this, causes shaqawa. Because it causes qaswatul qalb, and qaswatul qalb is a sign of shaqawa. Say the salawat. The opposite of dhikr, does anyone know what the opposite of dhikr is? In Arabic or in any language. What is the opposite of dhikr? The opposite of dhikr is forgetfulness. Ghafla. Okay. Ghafla is a very big problem that we all have. Human beings generally have. It could reach a stage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, referring to the to these people. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَذَلْ. These people are like an'am, like animals, yet they're even worse than animals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They are the غَافِلُونَ. They're forgetful. They forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them. They forget the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their day-to-day lives. Forgetfulness is a big problem. Recite the salawat, please. In Surah A'raf, verse 205, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا. Tells us how to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. تَضَرُّع is where, you know how we feel hopeless sometimes? Have you ever felt hopeless? Is this going to work this time? Okay, recite another salawat. Have you ever felt hopeless in your life where you feel there's nothing that can really help you? There's no one in the world that can help you. When you want to call for someone for help at that point, the way you beg and you're desperate, that's called tadarru. Okay. That is called tadarru. So when you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should be remembering Him in this way. Tadarru'an wa khifa. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Okay. You shouldn't be speaking to him arrogantly and, you know, like you're speaking to Bob. Okay. And shouting out and saying, you do this for me or you do that. Interesting. I never thought I would actually see people do that. And that's why sometimes this verse kind of sounded odd. But I've seen people actually do that. When they talk to God, you better give me this or I'm going to do this. There's people that actually do that. I don't know. I don't know how they think of God and they start talking to Him like that. But this verse is telling it. دُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْأَصَالِ. Okay. In the day and in the night. وَلَا تَكُنْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Don't be one of those that forgets Allah subhanahu. Say salawat. A second salawat. There's a hadith from Imam al-Ridha salamullah alayh that says, "Inna Amir al-Mu'minin salawatullah alayh kana yaqul." Imam al-Ridha says that Amir al-Mu'minin used to say, "Tuba liman akhlasa lillahi al-ibada wa ad-du'a." Good is for the person who akhlasa lillahi al-ibada, that is sincere when he worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in his dua, وَلَمْ يَشْغَلْ قَلْبَهُ بِمَا تَرَى عَيْنَاهُ. And he does not occupy his heart with things that he has seen, the things that his eyes see. وَلَمْ يَنْسَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَسْمَعُ أُذُنَاهُ. And he does not forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what his ears hear. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we just explained in the prayer that we do on a daily basis, five times a day, it starts with dhikr, it ends with the tashahud, which is dhikr. In between it, you have dhikr. But do we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this prayer? This is the wajib amount of dhikr. We explained that yesterday, that if this dhikr is going to be having an effect on us, make us better people, the effects that the Holy Quran mentions, like the one that said, تَنْهَا عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, keeps us away from sins. It tells us not to sin, as one interpretation goes. It's got to have the soul of the prayer. It's got to have the essence of the prayer, which is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, question, how do I get that? How can I have my heart in the prayer? It's easy to say that I have my heart in the prayer, that I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I think we've all tried, and for most part of it, we have failed to concentrate and actually know who we're talking to. I gave examples, I don't want to mention the same examples tonight again. What is it? How do we do it? Is there any way that I could actually focus in prayer? Is there any method? Is there anything that I could use from the Ahlul Bayt, from anyone, for that matter, that I could actually focus in prayer? So when I face the Qibla and I say, Allahu Akbar, I'm not thinking of everything but God. How do I do that? This hadith gives us a key. The Imam says, Allah bless the person that does not occupy his heart with what he has seen, and he does not forget the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the things that he has heard. There's another hadith that talks about what argument does. Okay, there's a companion of the sixth Imam by the name of Anbasa al-Abid. He was known as a worshipper. Now, people that have been in the field of worshipping and spirituality, they kind of understand things differently than others do. Just like if you've been in, I don't know, if you've been a mechanic, if they talk about mechanics, you can understand it a lot better. If someone's been in spirituality, when they give them a pointer in spirituality, they can understand it. Now, when the Imam wants to tell him about the bad effects of arguing for the sake of argument, which is called mira, which is very bad, there's many hadith about that. If you look in Kafi, there's, the Imams have told different companions, different things. But when it gets to this person, you know what he says? He says, don't argue. Why? It keeps your heart occupied. If you want to remember God, if you want to have your heart in prayer, and actually focus your heart, your mind should not be preoccupied with all kinds of other stuff. Right? If my mind is already occupied with tons of stuff, then I just can't focus. It's just not possible. The Imam says, watch out. Basically, this is what the Imam is saying in this hadith. Imam al-Ridha is quoting Amir al-Mu'mineen saying, watch out. Don't fill your hearts with things that your eyes have seen. A lot of times we see something, okay, it may not do much to us at that point, but hours later, the flashbacks start occurring to me. I watched a movie 2 days ago. When I'm praying, the pictures come in. This guy was fighting that guy. All those flashbacks start coming, isn't that the case? When you're really, really trying to focus, but your heart doesn't want to focus, the flashbacks of things that you've seen in the past are going to be occurring at that point. This is what happens, it's automatic. Don't occupy your heart with things that you see. I want to take this point a little different direction for a second here. Some of the sins that we, inshallah we don't, but it happens in the West a lot. Some of the fahsha, the corruption that occurs. There's loads of corruption around us here in the West especially. Okay, it's all over the place. One of the reasons why we get into sin, one of the reasons why we get into further sin, is we don't control the eyes. We fail to understand the power of images in our minds. Okay. I may see something at one point. It may not seem to have an effect on me at that point in time. But when there's no one around, the thought starts coming to me. When there's the computer there, and no one's in the house, and there's internet access, and I can go all over the place, you know, the images start coming to me. In other instances where, you know, there's nobody else around that I could see, I forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. Ghafla, because my heart is occupied with something that I've seen, okay, and I commit a sin. You know, these sins are very dangerous. I'm going to get to that a little later on, but right now, since I'm talking about what the eyes can see, sometimes families are destroyed because of this issue of not controlling the eyes. You know, in the West, we have a serious problem with guys wanting to have muta after marriage. Okay. Now, Islamically, it's not haram to have that. Okay. But you see, some people are just always, you know, that's all that's on their mind. You know why? Because they don't control their eyes. Because we don't control our eyes. If we control our eyes, we won't have such a big problem. The eyes. The heart is occupied with what we see with our eyes. There's flashbacks later. When I start praying, as I said, the video games, the movies, the shop, this, the telephone I saw was so nice, whatever. Okay, all these pictures start coming back to me. I can't focus. وَلَمْ يَنْسَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ بِمَا تَسْمَعْ أُذُنَاهِ. He doesn't forget the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what he has heard through the ears. Music is very dangerous. That's not the only thing that the Imam is talking about there, but that's one of the very important things, okay, that we need to stay away from. If the ears are used to hearing music, okay, haram music, I want to open up a parenthesis and say not every music is haram, not every good sound is haram. We'll talk about that tomorrow night a little more. But the ones that are haram, and believe me, a lot of them are haram, that is going to keep me from focusing. That's not going to allow me to focus. Now, do you know what type of music is haram? Have you looked at the definition of the type of music that's haram? If you look at the Risala, it says the type of music that is haram is called the lahwi music. Lahwi music. For those of you who haven't seen that, it is called lahwi. When you look at the definition of lahwi, they say lahwi means that the characteristics of this music are such that when you hear it, it puts your mood in a mood that sin is more comfortable, is more enjoyable. You don't like to listen, or you don't like to pray at that point. When you hear this music, it doesn't have the effect of getting you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It actually takes you... That's not something that I start thinking of. When I hear this music, it starts making me think of other things. This is the definition of... That's exactly what it does, right? This type of music, when you listen to it, that's why they make it. They make it for the cup for what purpose? So they can sit down there and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They make this type of music so that when they're sitting down there and dancing around and, you know, mixed gathering and whatever is happening there, it's more enjoyable. That's what they make it for. The other types of music that they make for such gatherings, or the love songs and all of that, what do they make it for? Because they want to enjoy that stuff. Okay. What it does is that it puts your mood in the wrong mood. Okay. Listen to that. Do not forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through what the ears can hear. The adhkar that we have the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is mustahab. So we said every day 5 times you've got to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a lot more to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, other than the issue of taqwa that we focused and mentioned a number of times in these lectures, one other thing that He tells people is, وَذْكُرُوا ذِكْرًا كَثِيرًا. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. This hadith says, it's interesting. It says, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a lot. How much? There's no limit. The hadith says, everything's got a limit except for remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got no limit. Time-wise, okay. There's, maybe this has been a question on your minds as well. There's a hadith saying, even if you're in the washroom, or as you guys call it, toilet, you can remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not bad. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. Time-wise, there's no limit. And also, the levels that we can actually remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, think of Him, do not have any. The way I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even with the same word, for example, La ilaha illallah, what I understand of that, and the way I remember God through this, and the way Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi said La ilaha illallah, loud salawat, now that you know. It's very different. So there's no limit to that. Let me mention to you, there's a khutbah in Nahj al-Balagha I find very difficult to actually comprehend what this khutbah is trying to say. I can only mention the words and translate to you, but what it actually means, I don't know. You see for yourself if you can understand this. Amir al-Mu'mineen, when, in this khutbah is when he heard the verse, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Let me talk about this very shortly, very briefly. This verse is a very beautiful verse. It's in Surah Nur. After explaining that في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع فيها اسمه. Okay, talking about the Ahlul Bayt. Describing them, it says this, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Okay. Of course, this is not, the Ahlul Bayt are not the only ones. They are the most perfect example of this verse. Okay. But others can reach this state too, and that's why the Holy Quran mentions that. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Okay. That even when they are buying something, when they're doing business, that doesn't keep them from forgetting. From remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even at that time. Okay. Very serious business. Okay. I gotta focus on this, what the deal is, what I'm buying, what I'm selling. I'm in the supermarket, or I'm in the, you guys, what is it? AS, what is that? as the yeah the Walmart you guys have here. Yeah. You're in there, you're trying to shop for something, you're looking for the best item. No. Could you even think of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that position? This is where one could get. The hadith, when this verse was recited, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah, says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ جَعَلَ الذِّكْرَ جَلَاءً لِلْقُلُوبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dhikr and remembrance of Him جَلَاءً لِلْقُلُوبِ. Jala is where you get rid of all the stains and the filth that's on. So that's called jala. Okay. For some metals, they actually have to burn it. Okay. Gold, they heat it up and all the other stuff kind of falls off of it. Jala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dhikr jala'an lil'ulub. Okay. It clears the heart of the filth. Tasma'u bihi or tusma'u bihi ba'dal waqrah. After the dhikr, if one had something, you know, in the Holy Quran, the waqr, okay, it's mentioned in the Holy Quran, it's a seal on the heart. It's a type of seal. All right. Because after that seal's on the heart, how can one hear? Because the verses say that when you have that waqra on the heart, you cannot hear the truth. Not physically, you just don't understand. You don't think that's the truth. It says, بعد الوقرة, if you do dhikr, this is what is going to cause you to hear the right message. وَتُبْصَرُ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْعَشْوَةِ. Similar about the sight. وَتُنْقَادْ بِهِ بَعْدَ الْمُعَانَدَةِ وَمَا بَرِحَ اللَّهِ عَزَّتْ آلَاهُ. This is where I'm referring to. فِي الْبُرْحَةِ بَعْدَ الْبُرْحَةِ وَفِي أَزْمَانِ الْفَتَرَاتِ عِبَادٌ نَاجَاهُمْ فِي فِكْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has always got these servants that najahum fi fikrihim. You probably heard the word munajat. This is from the same group, and actually it's the same bab as they call it. Munajat was when you whisper into someone's ear, that's called munajat. Najahum fi fikrihim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whispers into their thought. This is what the Imam says. At every point in time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got these servants that He whispers to them. Not they whisper to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He whispers in their thought. وَكَلَّمَهُمْ فِي ذَاتِ عُقُولِهِمْ. He speaks to them through their intellect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking to someone. If it wasn't for Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi mentioning this, okay, in a khutbah, for me at my very low level, I would have never accepted any such statements. You get a lot of pseudos and weirdos saying things like that. I was guided by God. Okay. You hear a lot of that stuff. That's why it's really... If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to guide people, He sent the prophets, right? That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the prophets for. If everyone could be spoken to by God, then what's the sense of having prophets? If everyone could go without the teachings of the prophets and reach a stage where they can actually speak to God and God speaks to them, then what's the sense of having prophets? That's an important point. If people can go without the teachings of the prophets in India, they can find a way themselves, spiritual training or whatever. They can reach a stage through that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them and says, you want to get closer to me, this is how you do it. If that was possible, then why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send the prophets? So this is not a joke. All right, just... But in this khutbah, Amir al-Mu'mineen says that there are people, they're not going to come out and tell you anything like that, alright? If you hear something like that, I was guided by God, if you want to get closer to God, this is how you... Okay, that's fake stuff, that's not real. The people that are given more, they're given more secrets, their mouths are sealed. Okay, they're not going to speak about that. They won't say, oh, I have this special relationship with God. But according to Amir al-Mu'mineen in this khutbah, there are people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to them. As I said, I don't know what that means. I really don't know what that means. How can God speak? You know, we hear of revelation. Alright, this is not revelation. This is different. Alright, this is different. So I don't know what that means, but all I know, and the reason why I read this to you is this. Brothers and sisters, there's this level two. This is where one could get. This is where we can train ourselves. I mean, when you get there, when God is speaking to you, is anything else? Now for some of us, maybe it's, just imagine, God that controls everything that happens here, all these lights and everything, anything you imagine, my movement, this mic working, everything is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He didn't want it, none of this would have worked, right? He speaks to you. Would it matter if anyone else, if your friend doesn't want to speak to you? Would it matter? Nothing else would care. That's why some of the Urafa, I guess they've reached to some, you know, similar stages here, that they really don't care what they have, or all they care about, all they can feel is that relationship that they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is these levels that we could get to. That's why the Ahlul Bayt have mentioned it to us. You shouldn't work for the bare minimum. Yes, the bare minimum is sufficient. If you do that, you have taqwa. You're going to get into paradise, but is that something we should be aiming for? Is that the purpose of humanity, that we come here and we are looking for ways to get at loopholes to not act according to this law and the other law and just stick to the very basic? Is that the goal? That's where we need to start, but is that what the goal is? So there's these levels. But to get to these levels, how do we do that? I want to take you back to to where we started. There's another type of dhikr, brothers and sisters. There's a basic level of dhikr that all of us need to have. In many verses of the Holy Quran, the dhikr that is referred to is this. Okay, this type of dhikr. For example, one of the verses that I think maybe is referring to this type of dhikr, or this type of dhikr could be included, is in Surah A'la, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, فذكر إن نفعت الذكر. ذكر, remind yourself. Or maybe it's the Prophet reminding the people. إن نفعت الذكر سيذكر من يخشى. The people have that have that fear in their heart, they're going to the, when you tell them, look, what you're doing is wrong. They accept that. Recite the salawat, please. This just reminded me of a point, side point, I'll mention this. Sometimes we get really upset when someone comes and tells us that you're doing something wrong. We don't like it. They come and tell me, look, brother, we're really good friends, but you know, this thing that you're doing is wrong. We don't like to accept that. You know how you should take that? One of the ways that maybe it'll ease the way to think and to be accepting of that. It's really tough when I hear something like that, when someone criticizes me, to accept their criticism and say, okay, let me think about this. Do I really have that flaw? Sometimes we rule it out before you even think of it. Okay. Before even see whether I do have that flaw or not. One of the ways that we can think of it to try to kind of ease ourselves into accepting that and think again, see, do I have that? Instead of saying, no, he's wrong. I don't have this problem. Think of it along the lines of this verse. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through my brother or sister is telling me, look, is reminding me, is giving me a reminder. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى This verse says, or these verses say, that the people that would stay away from the dhikr are those who are the shaqi. We already explained what shaqi is. The dhikr that I was wanting to mention to you, brothers and sisters, that is something we all need to have. A person by the name of Abi Ubaidah al-Haddad, one of the companions of our sixth Imam, salamullah alayh. Says that the Imam told him, مِنْ أَشَدِّ مَا فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا One of the wajibat, one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated upon mankind very strongly is ذِكْرُ كَثِيرًا Okay, we explained this as a mustahab thing, right? If you remember, I said the wajib dhikr is prayer during the day. 5 times a day we have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse says one of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obligated on mankind and very strongly done so is dhikrullah kathira. Okay. It says, then the Imam says, ثُمَّ قَالْ لَا أَعْنِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهُ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهُ وَلَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ I don't mean these statements. Those are dhikr. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah. These are all dhikr, right? The Imam says, I don't mean these by dhikr when I said dhikr. What do you mean, O Imam? He says, wa in kana min. All of that is dhikr, as I said. Walakin dhikrullah indama ahal wa harram. Fa in kana ta'atan amila biha wa in kana ma'asiyatan taraka. We got to start at the basics and build up to get anywhere if you want. We can't jump. No shortcuts. It says the dhikr that is wajib that everyone's got to do is, you know what? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the things that He's made wajib and haram. When I'm walking down the street, getting to work or school or wherever it is that I'm getting to, shopping, a lot of things come up. Okay, there's a lot of places that I can look. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that point. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made this haram. I'm not allowed to look. When a wajib thing comes, when I'm playing on my video game, for example, or watching a movie or at work or something, and time for prayer comes in. Time for prayer comes in, and I'm still going on. We said it's important that we pray at the beginning of time, right? So that time comes in, and I keep going on doing whatever, and then Maghrib comes, oh, shoot, I missed it. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is necessary for us, the basic level. From there we can build on and reach the stages where Amir al-Mu'mineen spoke about in that khutbah, or this every step of the day. You know, some of the akhlaq teachers talk about something called muhasabah. I don't know if how many of you have heard that. Muhasaba, what they talk about is this, that when at the end of every day you sit down and you go over what you've done. They say this helps you a lot. Sit down and see what you've done during that day. If you've done something, if you remember of a good deed, you did, say Alhamdulillah. If you remember of something wrong that you've done, say Astaghfirullah, we ask for forgiveness. You know, one of the teachers said something that's better than that is this. Don't wait until the end of the day comes and you start thinking, okay, what did I do and what did I... No. At every point of the day, I need to be aware. What am I doing? Is what I'm doing something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to do? Or is it something that I'm supposed to actually stay away from? This is the minimum level of remembrance other than prayer that's wajib for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us in this holy month to start from the basics and grow from there, inshallah, reach stages where we've been told by the imams we can get. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents, all those who've taught us the word in Islam, of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our 12th imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be one of his servants. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja, all those who are helping the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially our leader, in Nabiya wa alihi rahimahullah wa qala fatiha ma'as-salam.